Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Heavenly Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text is Romans 3, 19 through 24, and I'll quote it as we go. So, the Pharisee and the tax collector both go into the temple, or let's say the upright citizen and the drug dealer both go into a church, and the upright citizen talks to God about how grateful he is that God made him such a good person. But the drug dealer hangs in the back and just says, God have mercy on slime like me. In that case, according to Jesus, it's the drug dealer who goes home justified, which means it's the drug dealer who goes home found innocent. And it's the upright citizen who gets convicted, which is a surprise, especially to the upright citizen. And what might also surprise him is to find out that the two of them in that church were, in reality, defendants in court. We all are. And not just in church, but everywhere. That's a surprise to most folks, too. You see, every day we go to work or school, then we go home or to a restaurant or to the movies, wherever, and most of us think mostly about what happened to us and whether or not we liked it, which would be okay if we were just like pets that stuff happens to. But we're human beings. We exist to reflect, verse 23, God's glory on a small scale by loving him with all our might and loving everybody else as if they were us. So every single day and night too, the first question isn't what happened to me and did I like it? The first question is what did I do and did God like it? And the law says, what did you do? Verse 23, you fell short. You sinned. That's what the law's for, above all. God sent the law to take us into custody. Verse 19, whatever the law says, it's speaking to people who are under the law, to people that the law is in charge of, to people who are in custody. Tons of folk hear God's commands. They say, thanks for the suggestions. The law says, I am not making suggestions. I am taking you into custody. That's why, verse 20, no one will be found innocent by keeping the law. That's not what it's for. On the contrary, the law makes us know that we've sinned. You're not being counseled. You're being arrested and indicted. Whatever the law says, it's speaking to defendants in court. God is on the bench, and all things lie open and bare before his eyes. And every minute of every day, the biggest question is, what is God's verdict on me? If God finds you guilty, nothing else that happens can make it better. Because whoever dies guilty serves the sentence. And the sentence is like a nightmare, only you never wake up. And even before that, you're just a prisoner on death row. But if God said today, if God finds me innocent, I mean, I know he sees all the evidence. He has read the indictment. But if God somehow said, case dismissed, if he said, whoa, well done. If he said that, there is nothing could spoil my day. Whatever else happened in my whole life, if that's what God says about me, I'm okay. What is the judge saying about you and me? Most people can't hear because they're too busy talking. Verse 19, whatever God's law says, it's speaking to people that it has in custody to silence every mouth and leave the whole world ready for sentencing. But most people will not stop talking, like that upright citizen Pharisee who insisted on appearing as his own character witness. That doesn't work in any court. But then a lot of people, as I say, are totally oblivious as to where they are and whom they're in front of. When they hear the law, they talk as if they were at a testimonial dinner in their honor. The law says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and might. And they say, okay, you're right, I guess I do. The law says, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And they say, thank you for noticing. Some folk like that Pharisee seem to think they're at the Academy Awards. I give all the credit to God. Thank you, Lord, for making it possible for me to give such a great performance. And all the while, they're in custody. And some people who know they're in custody are just mad about it. They stand in front of the judge and they say, I don't want to hear the charges. Thank you. I am sick of hearing about my so-called crimes. I do not recognize this court. I am not listening. And lots of people, including you and me, offer excuses and mitigating circumstances. Yes, I broke the law, but I really wanted to. Yes, I broke the law, but I was tired, or I was blue, or I was under a lot of stress, or I was tempted, or I was fed up. So the law says, silence in court. Some of us have even said, but everybody breaks that law. Everybody spoils their kids. Everybody rebels against their parents. Everybody sleeps around. Everybody lives together. Yes, that's why they're all in custody or in hell. And lots of people stand in court saying, I'm sorry, I'll be good, I'll be good, I'll be good, I'm sorry, I'll be good, I'm sorry, I'll be good, I'll be good. And while they talk, they can't hear what the judge is saying. Before the Reformation, 500 years ago, every Christian knew that this world is God's courtroom. But everybody was talking so loud, nobody could hear God. They all knew he was the judge. But everybody had something to say. Almost everybody was trying to use the very law that had them in custody to get off. Yes, I committed adultery, but I always go to church. I'll trade you a third commandment for a sixth. Doesn't that balance out? Or, yes, I skip church, but I never commit adultery. Or, true, I commit a lot of sins, but I do give away a lot of money. Or, true, I never give anything away, but I do keep my nose clean. Doesn't it cancel out? Imagine a thief in court who hears the law, thou shalt not steal, and he says, but your honor, I never watch porn. Or worse yet, a thief who hears thou shalt not steal and says, thank you, your honor, that's a great idea. 500 years ago, almost the whole church was saying, God will save you if you're good. But what good is that when we're all already in custody? Nevertheless, we heard God's law and we said, okay, Lord, we'll get right on it. But the law says, silence. I am not giving you advice. I am reading the charges against you to leave you silent and ready for sentencing. But if we stop talking, what would we hear God saying? Martin Luther didn't want to hear. On the outside, he was a fabulous Christian, radically better than me. But inside him were the same things that are inside you and me, and that come out. Some of the time, Martin was on top of it, and then he was proud of that, and then he was sorry for being proud, and then he was proud of how sorry he was. He knew he was in court and ready for sentencing. He was trying like mad to be a better Christian before God gave his verdict. But in fact, God was already giving his verdict. Only Martin couldn't hear. He was too busy talking in court. And what he was saying was, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. I am so sorry. I'm so sorry, and I'm never sorry enough, and I'm so sorry. And God's law shouted, silence! You're sorry for yourself, and sorry is not enough. What you need is innocence, and you haven't got it. And Martin Luther didn't have a thing to say. Years later, somebody said about him, one man spoke and set the world afire. But that's not true. What happened is that one man shut up and heard God. Scripture alone. What God's law says, it said to Martin until he was silenced and ready for sentencing. And in the silence, he finally heard the judge say, "Not guilty, son. Innocent." Case dismissed. And Martin Luther said, "What?" But it was right there in God's word. There is verse 21. Innocence from God apart from the law. You see, all have sinned. And verse 23, since all have sinned, any innocence would have to be apart from the law. So, since all have sinned and fall short of God's glory, verse 24, they are found innocent by God's grace as a gift. Grace alone. And then Martin opened his mouth real wide and shouted the impossible thing that Moses and the prophets had been shouting all along. Verse 22. Innocence! Innocence from God through trusting Jesus Christ to everyone who believes, faith alone. Innocence that he gives as a gift to everybody who believes, verse 24, because of what Jesus Christ paid to set us free. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow, since Christ has been scarlet with blood. As far as east is from west, so far has he removed your sins from you and laid them on his mighty Son once for all. We just sang Luther's hymn. The Son of God has come to earth, adorned with gifts and graces. Our works and actions have no worth. They are but vain devices once you're in custody. By grace we see God's only Son, and all the works which he hath done, he is the blessed Savior, Christ alone. In fact, God sent the law in uniform to put us in custody so we wouldn't get away, so we'd have a chance to hear the impossible verdict. God sent the law to indict us till we haven't got a thing to say, but oh God, have mercy. Yes, and it is written, God has arraigned the whole world in unrighteousness in order to have mercy on all. God sent the law to get us all in court and silent so that we could hear God say, not guilty, innocent, and award us his Holy Spirit for a new life so we could even say, well done. How can he say that to you? Because he is looking at what Jesus Christ paid to set you free. What a wonderful courtroom. I love this courtroom. What a beautiful courtroom. Where God says, I love you, child. This glorious courtroom where we get credited with the innocence of Jesus Christ. And we need reformation all the time so that we know that we're in that wonderful courtroom wherever we are. We need God's law to silence us so that we can hear Christ's Father say, be still and know that I am God. I have redeemed you. So that even the law, do you know, now we get to meet the law when it's out of uniform. Suddenly the law says, can I help you? The law says, oh, this is the way you want since you're innocent. Since you're justified. Since God finds you, well, when Jesus covers your sins, all that God finds is you. At last, and finds you innocent every day into heaven, which is justification by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, which is simply Scripture alone. And I quote, whatever God's law says, it's speaking to people that it has in custody, to silence every mouth and leave the whole world ready for sentencing by God. So no one will be found innocent by keeping the law. On the contrary, the law makes us know that we've sinned. But now, an innocence from God apart from the law has been made known. Moses and the prophets testify to it. It's innocence that comes through trusting Jesus Christ. Innocence from God to everyone who believes. And there's no difference among us. Since all have sinned and fall short of God's glory, they're found innocent by God's grace as a gift because of what Jesus Christ paid to set us free. This is the word of the Lord.